Another thing that's like really magical about this place is that it just sounds like nature at all times. Like, see? See, I speak birds and they said that's right.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Yeah, I'd like to know exactly what Bob is talking about. Is there a contract he's got to sign?
Have your lawyers talk to my lawyers.
Your demon peepee is now under contract to Spotify. Exclusive on Spotify. Bob's demon peepee.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the beautiful co-host of The Commercial Break, Kristen Joy Oatley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. Chrissy.
Brian.
I don't get to say this very often because it doesn't happen very often, but I was right. I was right. I was right. I was right. I don't mean to dance on the graves of those who have lost, but I was right. I tried to warn you. In 2020... In 2021 and in 2022, I tried to warn you that NFTs are worthless.
I agreed with you.
They mean nothing. It meant nothing ever. It was never anything.
Yeah.
It was never anything.
I know.
And trust me, I didn't take this information from my brain to make some like contrarian point of view. I took this information from my brain because I really felt like a JPEG could not possibly be worth millions and millions of dollars.
That's what I thought too.
When anybody else in the world can just screenshot the JPEG and make it. And an NFT is not even it's just a receipt that you have some ownership in some JPEG floating out there in the world. It doesn't really mean anything.
No.
But lately, I have been inundated by the YouTube algorithm, algorithm of YouTube.
Yes.
I've been inundated by these NFT, ladies and gentlemen, who also were predicting way back when, I guess, because now they're saying, I told you so, just like I'm about to tell you, I told you so. I'm about to hop on the YouTube algorithm bandwagon here and say, I told you so.
They got it from us.
They got it from us. Now we're giving it back to them. And YouTube, you better treat me the same as somebody, you know, CoffeeZilla could not possibly be more popular than The Commercial Break. Do you know what CoffeeZilla is?
No.
I love CoffeeZilla. Love, 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 love. Remember when there was a big scrum up about the podcast industry and this guy who was taking everybody's money?
Oh, yeah.
And Theo Vaughn went on and made a big 20-minute episode about how he'd been screwed by this guy at Cast Media and blah, blah, blah. The podcast industry is full of fucking drama. No one, you don't care about it here. But Theo Vaughn and CoffeeZilla is a guy who busts scammers in the crypto and new media and NFT space. And he's been responsible for busting a lot of Ponzi schemes, or what they call rug pulls, meaning the rug was pulled from under the people who bought, in the space. He's like, the guy who kind of polices the area, and people respect him. He gets millions and millions of views. He has millions and millions of subscribers. But CoffeeZilla, he also has been saying for a long time, NFTs, I'm not so sure about these NFT things. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read you an article from Yahoo. You ready?
Yes, okay. Ready.
Yahoo byline, remember when NFTs sold for millions of dollars? Now 95% of the digital collectibles have been valued at worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Are NFTs dead? A recent study looking at the price of thousands of collections seemed to suggest the answer is yes. A report by Dab Gamble. Yeah, collections. I got a collection of pixelated dicks. I got a monkey chewing an eyeball. It's clearly worth billions of dollars. Look, I got the first ever tweet. What do you have? The first ever tweet. I paid $1.9 million. The first ever tweet was sold by Jack Dorsey for $1.9 million. But you know what it really was? A screenshot of the first ever tweet. Who couldn't do that? It's still there. I'm sure it is. Right? It's got to be. You got to keep that for posterity's sake or something, don't you?
I think so.
Okay,
but
I'm just checking. All right.
Yeah. This is like, it's only if you have money to just burn. It means something if it means something to you.
Yes.
But
I will always agree with.
Yeah, but yeah. In the scope of things to the rest of the world, who cares?
I learned that lesson hard and fast at the tender age of 14 years old when I went on a rampage buying Dick Tracy collectibles. Yes. Dick Tracy the movie, mind you. Not even the real comic book, the movie. Right. The shitty ass movie from the Madonna and Sean.
Warren Beatty.
I kept that shit for years, just knowing it was going to turn into gold sometime. Yeah. It probably will at some point, but it's they're long gone. My mom threw them away. She couldn't get sick of looking at it, stuffed in the corner of my closet. And by the way, I took no care of it whatsoever. Day after I get it, I throw it into my closet. $30 comic books got bended pages and folded knees. I got Pearl Jam posters I bought for hundreds of dollars. I know are worthless. They're worthless. You go to eBay, you can buy them for $5. Framed yes. for $25. Right. I paid $1,000, but framed, you know, a couple of these are a couple hundred dollars worth of hard-earned savings that I could probably use back right now.
But they mean something to you.
They do. I like to look at them, yes. And I have no intention of selling them. So if they right. mean something to me, it was important correct. To get them. I like the posters. I like the band. I like these particular shows. They have sentimental value for some reason in my stupid little brain.
Now everybody yeah, has the thing.
Of course. You have a thing. Everybody has things, yes. You know, like the Buddha said, attachments are suffering. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of suffering in my life. And it all starts and ends in this studio.
Well,
our contracts attachments, our contracts have attachments. They're called amendments. Okay, a report by Dap Gamble. Dap Gamble's keeping an eye on the other team.
Thank God for Dap Gamble.
Yeah, thank God Dap Gamble's out there keeping an eye on us. Dap Gamble. That is the most crypto name I've ever heard. Dap Gamble. At least, if it was only called Dap Gamble. Dap Gamble. A recent study by Dap Gamble, based on data provided by NFT Scan and CoinMarketCap, showed that out of 73,000 NFT collections the researchers looked at, 69,800 of them, or slightly over 95%, had a market cap of the number zero. Mm. That means 69 out of the 73 had a market value of $0.00. 0.0, Mr. Blutowski.
I would be curious.
Mr. Blutowski!
I would be curious as to the ones that still have value.
The most popular of collections, like Bored Apes, that get you into exclusive events and parties, okay. where there may be some intrinsic value in, you know...
showing your JPEG?
Yeah, showing up to your Bored Ape party. I mean, listen... I can't say I wouldn't want to go to a Bored Ape party if someone invited me, but I'm not going to pay $72,000 to get there. Just not. Yeah. I did that once. It was called Taylor Swift. It was fine. By their estimates, almost 23 million people hold these worthless assets. This is a daunting reality and should serve as a sobering check on the euphoria that has often surrounded the NFT space, the research has said. Amid stories of digital art pieces selling for millions and overnight success stories, it is easy to overlook the fact that the market is fraught with pitfalls, scams, and potential losses. NFTs are digital representations of art or collectibles tied to the blockchain, typically Ethereum. And each one has a unique signature that cannot be duplicated. Say that again. You can say that again. In 2021 and 2022, the NFT market saw a huge bull run at one point leading up to $2.8 billion in monthly trading volume. During that time, popular collections such as Bored Ape, CryptoPunks were selling for millions of dollars, and celebrities such as Stephen Curry and Snoop Dogg participated in the hype. The boom coincided with the cryptocurrency's peak when Bitcoin was trading close to $70,000. On Wednesday, the price of the crypto hovered just above $27,000. Dap Gamble's study shows that 79% of all NFT collectibles remain unsold, and the surplus of supply over demand has created a buyer's market that isn't doing anything to relieve the enthusiasm. Even filtering out the lower value and less significant projects, most collectibles have little to no value today. Out of the top 8,800 collections by market cap, 18% are worthless, and 41% are priced between $5 and $100.
Wow.
Fewer than 1% have a price tag above $6,000.
Buy high, sell low. That they were
buy high, sell low. That's the Brian Greene way to bankruptcy and success.
Yes.
You too can be bankrupt in the podcast industry by following Brian Greene's 5 rules.
Foolproof ways.
Number 1, put out shitty content. Number two, put out more shitty content. Number three, go to 3 days of shitty content. Number four, 4 days of shitty content. And number five, realize you're making no money no matter how many episodes you put out. You two are in for a long, hard winter. Are you sick of being happy and fulfilled? Are you looking for a little misery, stress, and depression in your life? Brian Greene's got the answer for you. It's the get-rich-quick scheme that no one gets rich at. It's the Ponzi scheme that stays at the bottom level. It's the pyramid scheme where all the Egyptians died off before they got a chance to build. You're going to be swimming in capital. If by capital you mean invoices. Don't worry. They can't get what you don't have.
Right.
I told you, man. Listen.
But on the reverse side of that, maybe now's the time for us to get into NFTs and buy them for a dollar.
Yeah, that's true. In the reverse, and now it's a buyer's market. Yeah, if it's sure worth nothing, you'll take a penny, right? Right. We by this estimation, we could literally buy up 95% of the market for a dollar.
Right.
I mean, why not? Right.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I see these companies and they're valued at like their total value is like $1.5 million with, you know, 45 million outstanding shares or whatever. And I'm like, why didn't some guy just or girl or whoever come in and spend $1.5 million and buy the whole company?
Yeah.
Well, and then I thought to myself, well, if they're only worth $1.5 million, chances are they're doing so great anyway. I guess that's why I do podcasting and they do market trading. Mm-hmm. Listen, and I feel bad. I have friends who are got highly involved in the NFT process and some acquaintances who put out, you know, put out their own collections and stuff like this.
We talked about it with TCB. Of course, it went in the notebook, so we never did it.
Well, I did put out one NFT.
That's right.
And we're part of that 95%.
doing our part.
Yes, doing our part for the scam.
For the glutton of inventory.
Let's rug pull together, shall we? It's time to come together, make peace between both sides, and support the rug pullers. And they at least made some fake value for a while, right? I put that NFT out. It was the very first intro to the podcast that was created.
Similar to the first tweet.
Similar to the first tweet. Only I think that actually got people to... I think Twitter worked out just fine. Well, at least for a little while, it was going okay anyway.
It may not work out.
Yeah, it may not work out now. I think that Elon might be losing his marbles.
I know.
I was listening to a guy who wrote a book, about Twitter. Same guy who wrote, not The Big Short, but he wrote, The Social Network. His book became The Social Network.
Okay.
And then his book became another story about another famous movie with famous actors. But he's a really good writer. Mm-hmm. And he was on talking about his new book, which is the tweet that broke the internet or the Twitter that broke the internet or something like that. I don't know.
Twitter that broke the network. I have a feeling that's not the name of it.
No, it's not. Let me find that. Christina's always yelling at me.
Something like that.
Yeah. Christina's always yelling at me that I just get it so wrong. Breaking Twitter.
Breaking Twitter. Yeah. Okay.
By Ben Mezrich.
Okay.
By Ben Mezrich. Okay. And so Ben has written, like I said, you know, Social Network and stuff. He wrote a book that based on The Social Network. And He's credible. He just sold the rights to this one and it just came out today. And he already sold this one and they're out there looking for their Elon Musk actor. Mm-hmm. And what a juicy part to dig into.
Right.
Because there's some things that really fascinate me about this guy. And I'm not knocking the dreaming. That's how things get done.
Exactly.
Is you have to just believe against all odds that you can, you know, return rockets to Earth and reuse them and all this other stuff. You have to come up, even if it's not your own original idea, which a lot of this stuff wasn't. Did you know Tesla? He bought that company. He did not create that company.
I do remember
he bought
saying
that company.
That, yeah.
And so, you know, when these really Steve Jobs types characters, Walt Disney.
Yeah, they go way outside.
They go way outside the box. Mm-hmm. Who's that girl who did Spanx? Sarah Blackman?
Oh, Lively.
Sarah Lively. Mm-hmm. When people like this come along and they change the world one way or the other, you have to be a little bit crazy to do that, because every instinct and every common sense thread through your mind must tell you not to take these kind of risks. This is crazy. Borrow and borrow and borrow. Tesla was underwater, still is underwater, I think, or might be. Tesla was underwater for years and years and years, yet he got really good at raising capital because he was Elon Musk and he could walk into a boardroom and just spout and people would be impressed. They would be like, wow, this guy's crazy, but I like it. He has some good ideas here. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's usually about changing something, you know, or creating something that wasn't there before, that there's a need for it. And I think Elon came into Twitter. He liked using Twitter.
Yep.
He wanted to change it. And now it's just a mess, it sounds like.
It sounds like it's a hot mess. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's worth half of what it was just a year ago when he bought it. And then they were pointing out that, like, you know, if 5 years ago, if Elon Musk said, we're going to send a rocket up and we're trying to make it to Mars, mm-hmm. and halfway there, the rocket exploded, everyone would go, he tried.
Yeah.
At least we got in the air, right? That's a good thing. That would be mm-hmm. considered a success. But in the current version of Elon Musk, when a rocket exploded, everybody kind of jeered him. They're like, well, see, that's another Elon Musk failure. Mm-hmm. So it's a testament to how quickly sentiment can change, number one. And number two, it's a testament to how one person's personality wrapped into all these companies can really move a market hugely.
True.
And I think that's a lot like NFTs. There is an idea there. There is a digital rights management idea there that I think will survive the dick pics and the Bored Apes and the whatevers, right? But the sentiment drove the value. The idea that if you could hit the lottery by getting in early and buying big and selling bigger and all this
and
other stuff.
Maybe some people did, you know, if they did buy it and then they sold it and then they stopped there, like when you're at the winning table at
the casino. I agree.
You walk away.
Yeah, but so many people, no one ever does that, right?
Yeah.
And I think when you're Elon Musk and you're playing with billions and trillions of dollars and you keep winning and winning and winning and winning, you get the sense that you're invincible.
Yep.
And when public sentiment is with you, you are just bolstered. You have wind in your sails. Mm-hmm. I was reading about that first tweet that got sold. It got sold for one point. I think I'm getting these numbers right. I don't exactly have the information right in front of me, because why would I? I'm just doing a podcast about it. But $1.9 million was bought by a conglomerate, like a company that intended to then turn it around in a couple of years and sell it for $45 million. That's what they told their investors they were going to sell this for. Last check, last price. Guess what the top offer was?
Mm.
Just take a guess for the first tweet ever.
I don't know.
The first NFT of the first tweet.
$10,000.
$350.
Wow.
Was the highest bidder. $350. Can you imagine taking a $1.9 million bath when you thought you were going to make $39 million? It's a lot like the commercial break, actually.
It really is. There are definite parallels.
There are parallels between NFTs and between the commercial break. And we'll talk more about how shitty the podcast is doing right after our first break. Oh, there's Blue.
And there's Blue.
So that's perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Let's let Blue get it out of her system. We'll be back in 40 to 80 minutes. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Brian, we get it. But back to me. I mean, this TCB promo. Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3 and you might just hear yourself on the show. Want to text us instead? Lucky for you, we also have a number just for that. Text us at 855-TCB-8383 and give us compliments. You can also always go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video. Find us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And find us on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited episodes. Now that that's done, let's listen to a few sponsors and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break.
This episode is sponsored in part by Regain, couples therapy by BetterHelp. So you've been dating someone for a little while, maybe you've been in a relationship for a year or two, and you're starting to hit some of those rough patches, those bumps and bruises, miscommunications. We've all been there, I've been there, and sometimes we're not equipped to handle those miscommunications, those little bumps and bruises. It's difficult to see the forest through the trees, even with someone we really care about. It's 2023. There's no shame in therapy. As a matter of fact, I've used couples therapy to help me communicate more effectively and deepen my relationships. And here is the crazy part, at least from my perspective. perspective, relationship therapy has actually been just as effective when everything is great in my relationship, and it certainly has helped when things aren't so great in the relationship. An experienced and licensed therapist can help you walk through those rough patches and give both you and your partner some clarity. I swear by therapy, and couples therapy is no different. And BetterHelp, the leading online therapy brand, now has Regain Couples Therapy. It's private, it's online, you can do it on your own time, your own schedule, in your own way, from your own home, or wherever. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched to a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for free. Some of the best relationship advice I've ever heard was, go to couples therapy. Because the best relationships are worth fighting for, try something new in therapy. Visit regain.com/BTY today to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/BTY, as in best to you. Regain.com/BTY. Have a licensed therapist help you work through some of the rough spots. Regain.com/BTY. And thanks to Regain Couples Therapy from BetterHelp for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
All right, and we're back. Chrissy, when you were a kid, you know, Halloween just passed a week or so ago. When you were a kid, did you ever do Ouija boards?
Yes.
Stuff like that?
Yeah. I loved it.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
And when you did those Ouija boards, is it like anything?
Usually it was like at a slumber party.
Yeah. You're scaring each other and yes. Go into the red room.
Who am I going to marry?
Yeah. DCWTTY. It's like when I was on that porn, it was like on that live porn video. TTWW, ##...
Right.
Yeah. Did you ever hold any weight for you? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Nah, that night, maybe. But no.
I remember we did the Red Rum or Red Mary thing.
Yeah, in the mirror.
Oh, Bloody Mary. Go into a dark bathroom where they have the big mirror, right? And then you close your eyes and you hold your hands on your eyes and you say, Bloody Mary.
Three times.
No, we said it 15 times.
15?
Yeah, because the more you press your eyes, the more red, the bigger the red circle would be when you opened up your eyes.
Oh, wow.
You're essentially just constricting your blood vessels to show a red dot in the middle of your vision. But man, it scared the shit out of me the first time it happened. And then the next time the mirror scared me was when I was 18 on acid. I was like, my face is melting. But I do remember those Ouija boards. I remember here in Georgia, where I grew up, and I probably shouldn't mention the place because God forbid anybody actually be from Georgia and it causes trouble. But there was a place where I grew up. There was, like a lot of places in Georgia, some farmland, some old crickety, you know, non-paved roads. I mean,
just like mountain monsters,
just
the
like
farms
monsters.
That they go
That's
to.
That's right. Covered bridges, the whole nine yards. There was a property that was on off of one of the major roads in the town that I lived, and that was a dirt road. And that dirt road that led up to this property, apparently there was a murder that happened there that was done by Satanists, right? People.
Oh, the old
Satanists. The old anarchists.
Satanic killing.
Yes. And so this was
lore.
Lore.
Not lure. Lore.
TCB lore. Or lure. They would lure you in with their lore.
Yes, they would lure you with their lore.
That's my 8-year-old speech impediment coming on. So there was this property, and if you dare at night, you could turn off your light, turn down this road, turn off your lights, and get down this road, and back before the Satanists got you. Right, that was the whole thing. There was apparently an old, you know, barrel back there with bones in it, and you know there was still pentagrams, and if you got there on a Friday night, the ghosts were having parties. It was a whole thing. And by the time I turned the ghosts were having parties. It was a whole thing. It just kept going and going and going until it just sounded like, I don't know, Disney World for Satanists and murderers.
Right.
And you one way or the other, you had to go, because if you didn't, then you were chicken shit.
Cat.
Yeah, you were scaredy cat. So when I got old enough and I got that job at McDonald's, 14 years old,
right.
You know, we had a couple of the older teenagers were all about going down this road to see what happened. They'd never been. We got to go down this old, I don't want to name
then
the road.
Then you never saw them again.
Chrissy, I'm not sure I ever came back. I'm not sure which, I think it changed the course of my life. I think I'm still being piggy fronted by ghosts right now.
They're having a party right now.
I can feel
in the vodka.
Yeah,
in the
I can feel a ghost penis pecking at the back of my head. I'm being piggy fronted as we speak. Sometimes I get indigestion. I really think it's just a Satanist ghost dick down my throat. I guess we'll find out when we eat the gummy bear.
Oh, God.
Speaking of Satanists.
Yeah.
But, you know, this whole thing, this whole folklore that was going on. And so one night we went down there, and of course there was nothing there. Yes, it was scary because it was an old road. And I did find out as an adult when the internet came along that there were actually murders that happened on this property, but they were not done by Satanists. It was good old fashioned.
It was good old fashioned. Jealous husband?
Jealous husband, yeah. Murder, suicide, something like that. I don't know what it was. But that's
terrible.
Was
there a house down there?
There was an old decrepit house down there.
Oh,
it
abandoned.
Was abandoned. Yeah, it was a scary property, no doubt. There was no lights. If there was no moon, you couldn't see anything. The thing was you had to turn off your lights. So that you didn't alert the Satanists to your... By the way,
just cruise.
The amount of times that I've said Satanists on this episode, we're getting zero ads. Zero ads.
I like that you can just... You do have to put it neutral too, just silently cruise down in your Honda.
I'll never forget. We went with this girl who was like 18 years old, 18, 19 years old. We were 14. I think my twin brother was with me. And then there was this other younger person that worked at McDonald's. And this girl was like,
how young were people working at McDonald's? It sounds like
14.
Child labor.
14. You can get a worker's permit at 14 in the state. Yep. But you can only work a certain amount of hours. I think it's like 9 per week. And then when you turn 15, it could be up to 15 per week. And then when you're 16, you can work full time. But you got to be in school too. You know, they want you to get an education also. Or at least my parents did.
Yeah.
So I mostly took their advice. Yeah. I decided to become a working man. I'm just going for it, Dad. Listen, I got a career over there at McDonald's. I'm dating this 26-year-old part-time manager. She's the breakfast manager, Dad. She's going places in the world.
That's right.
She's making at
moving
least
up.
Something more than I am per hour. I was making $4.15 an hour. Never forget it.
A little sugar mama.
So happy. Oh, she was a little sugar mama. It's kind of creepy when I think about it now. Yeah. I'm like, I wonder if that was wholly inappropriate.
I think so, if she was really 26.
I know, but times were different back in the 40s when I grew up, so it didn't matter. Back when I was working at the first McDonald's in 1942.
Inappropriate, what's that?
And what's that? Inappropriate. We're lucky if we lived 10 years. That's just the way it was. You got pregnant at 16 and you gave your life to the child. That's how it was. That's the things that we did. Now you got all pampered with doctors and shit. It used to be when a woman was pregnant and the baby was coming out, we got the wolves to come and yank her out. That's how it worked. We said, Wolfie, you hungry? So we went down this thing. Nothing happened, of course, but we were with this girl and she turned off her lights and she had like this old Celica. And when,
the old Celica.
Yeah. And when you're talking about an old Celica from the 90s, it was a really old Celica. Yes. It was like the first version, like 1985. And so I think, yeah, we turned off the lights and turned off the car. We got to the end and then we all got scared and turned around.
Yeah.
But
could you turn on your lights on the way out?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I told her to
just
hit
not
it.
The way
I was
there.
Like, hit it. I was scared. I was fucking scared,
we need
man.
Lights and gas.
Yeah, we need lights
quick.
And brights and gas. Call the cops. Page the cops. My pager just went off. We got to get out of here. I got to sell a dime bag of oregano to my friend. So when the other night when it was Halloween, I don't know why, but I was watching a documentary about exorcists, mm-hmm. about real life exorcists. And I thought to myself, what a great thing to review here on the commercial.
Yeah.
Real life exorcisms. Now, some of the audio is just people screaming. So I want you to understand that, you know, there's not a ton of like digestible audio here, but if we walk you through it, I think you'll get the gist of it. I wanted to show you one particular video from one famous exorcist who's Bob Larkin. You remember this guy that we did? He was like training these young girls to be exorcists, these three young girls to be exorcists.
Maybe.
We did this first season, maybe we did this. But anyway, he's back. He's at one of these traveling roadshow exorcisms. It's clearly all fake and made up and all that other shit. But man, is this guy who is playing this part of the person who is, you know, is inhibiting a demon, or is the demon is inhabiting him? This guy is putting on a masterclass in terrible acting. And I just, I just think we have to watch it, Chrissy.
Let's do it.
It's perfect fodder for the commercial break. The name of the video is The Real Exorcist. Oh, I should probably turn it on. That would make sense, huh? If we actually...
Were you on the internet?
I was on the...
Were you trolling?
I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do. You know, this used to be the cue for the commercial break for Christina. So now that I do my own commercials, I totally forgot about it. But it's a cute part of the show.
It is.
Trolling on the internet, as I like to do.
I enjoy it.
There you go. Bob Larson.
Sam, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been a Christian?
40 years or so.
Former pastor.
How old are you?
56.
He's a former pastor.
He's a former pastor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So clearly there would be no relation between these two.
They're in a, just to set the scene for the listeners.
They're in a Holiday Inn.
They're in, I was going to say Holiday Inn type meeting room.
When you realize how many people have these kind of weird events going on at these like local hotel ballrooms, you realize that these hotels really have to take anything to make a living. Like they have to take anyone or anything that comes in the door. Hey, you want to do an exorcism in our ballroom on a Friday night? Yeah, sure. Bring the demons on in.
All right.
Pastor, just try to look at me. Well,
I'm trying not to let this thing manifest.
Right now, so we can talk. Okay.
Sam is a 56-year-old Christian and former pastor. He's been dealing with entrenched demons his whole life. His mother was a victim of incest. Previous attempts of deliverance were vague and ineffectual and only provided temporary relief. Thank God Bob Larson came along to get that demon right out of him.
Oof. Friend is trying to help you, and people have tried to help you, and you've had prayer. This thing has acted like this before. Do we know what it is, who it is?
Wait, it said that he had to deal with the incest demon.
Yeah, he's got to deal with the incest demon, I think.
God! Okay.
Incest demon. Oh, Lord.
Why is the incest demon in him from his mother?
I think they're just like pulling on loose threads and trying to put something together. This is produced by Bob Larson.
He's got a good dye job on his hair.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Trump 101 right there. Same color hair. I think Bob just has a little bit more of it. Real, anyway.
Yeah.
Tell me, I want you to say, if this evil is rooted
all or part
in incest.
Oh, Chrissy, on the bottom of the screen there's a phone number that we can call to talk to Bob Larson personally. Virtual encounters.
BobLarson.org/help.
Yeah.
There you go.
Write that phone number down. Maybe we should give that a call and I'll pretend to be inhabited by the bad podcast demon.
We should call it.
I break that curse.
Now, here he goes. So what you don't see is that Bob is standing above him with a microphone. He's sitting down in a chair. He's kind of twisting his body in a little bit of weird ways. But after Bob gave him this whole call and response thing, now the former pastor is really twisting in his chair in very odd ways. He's manipulating his body in very strange ways. I assume to make it look like he is actually, you know, possessed by a demon.
Yeah. What? Look at the other people.
I know all these other people are like, oh. I thought you were selling us timeshares. I thought we were getting free tickets to the Vegas Comic Con.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like Jim Carrey in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh! He just smacked him right in the belly. Look at his face.
Oh my God.
Someone off camera handed Bob a
shoe?
No, it's a Bible.
Oh, Bible. And I thought it was a shoe.
Bob didn't even like wave it in front of him to give him a heads up. He just smacked it. And I'm talking, he really did it. I know. This guy's probably thinking, we didn't agree to this.
Look at his face.
Oh, he got the wind knocked out of him.
Did.
That must have hurt. Here, let me, let's go back to that. Here comes the Bible.
That sounds like us back when we used to get drunk together.
I know. Kick me in the balls again, Chrissy. That's so much fun. Oh!
Oh, he hit him in the balls?
He hit him in the dick!
He did!
He hit him in the dick! He just took the Bible and hit him in the dick. You could see
look
why.
Look at that guy walking past.
I know that guy walking past. He's like, oh. Be careful, he's going for the dick shot. Do you think they practice this like wrestlers do? Behind stage. Yeah. Watch him, he's gonna take the book and go straight down on his dick.
Oh! Oh.
I cut off your wee-wee!
That other guy's laughing.
I know. He thinks it's funny. This is so much better than rehearsal.
You know what I just did, don't you?
You got my balls off?
Get on your feet, incest.
Why did he hit the balls?
Because I guess he's trying to get the incest demon.
Right.
Sure. Which is terrible, by the way. Incest is terrible. I have family members who are also victims of this.
God.
And it is terrible, terrible, terrible. But I feel more comforted by the fact that this is clearly bullshit. I mean, this guy is terribly acting this whole thing out.
Yeah.
Get on your feet. I command you, my car. Stand up. Stand up.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah. Order. Yeah. Order now, Jezebel,
your number one spiritual enemy. The uplifting book by Bob Larson. you'll put this book down feeling energized and optimized. Ready to take on anybody's demonic pee-pee. I curse your pee-pee.
Come here.
Sounds like one of my kids out there. when they have a cold.
Yeah.
Bible. The blood between you and me.
Now the guy who is pretending like he's possessed is like flinching every time Bob waves the Bible because he knows he's about getting ready to get hit.
God.
Okay, so what you're hearing there,
the muscle.
I know, but I want you to know something. Listen to the sound that's being made. That sounds very demonic, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds otherworldly. But the problem is, Bob pulls the microphone away, and that sound gets louder, not quieter. Watch. So clearly, that's a sound effect that's being played
through
the audio.
It looks like there's like a boombox in the background.
Yeah, there's a DJ. There's a DJ going on there. Cut your wee wee pee pee off. Cut your DD pee pee off. I'm going to cut that demon penis right out of you.
Drop the demon.
Drop the Bible on your balls. You're at Club Satan. Club Jezebel. You're going to leave here feeling refreshed. Your penis will be bruised, but you'll leave here refreshed. You better not touch your pee-pee.
Better get another man. What did he say? Better get another man?
Yeah, he said get another man in here. And I assume that means he's like to hold him back. I think one man would be okay.
Look at that guy laughing.
I know. They have to because imagine you practice this all night long. You got a job being a bodyguard at a Bob Larson fest or whatever the hell's going on. Yeah. Bob, clearly this is all rehearsed. And he's like, this is just so much funnier than in rehearsal.
Yeah.
He can't help but laugh. Everyone around him is laughing.
I know.
Except for Demon Boy there, who just got his pee-pee smacked. Look, his penis is swollen four times the size of its original.
He's right.
Couple more men. Where are you?
Hold? Yeah, what are they gonna do? Hold his legs?
I know.
Put him up so Bob can attack his pee pee some more.
God, each one of his arms.
Treated and one guy's going for his legs. They're going to lift him up in the air so Bob can smack him around a little bit more. It sounds like a ton of fun. I want to go to one of these events live. Yes. So I can just laugh.
I know.
Like this guy is, but for real. Right. And then Bob will smack my pee-pee.
You think you're going to take me out? He couldn't take me out. He won't even listen to me.
No, hurt him. Hurt him.
Can you imagine the neighbors at his apartment complex
right.
when he's trying to practice
oh
for
my
this?
God. Keep it down.
Hey, keep your pee, demon pee pee to yourself.
Hey, Super. Yeah, it's me, Carl. This is the fifth time I've called about the demon pee pee act going on upstairs. I mean, please, can we calm it down? I gotta send some photographs. I got some cash to drop off at people. I'm trying to count my fat stacks to drop off at my lady's house. All right, talk to you later. What are you doing tonight, Miss 911 lady? Oh, okay. I'll talk to you later. I gotta go prepare for my actual exorcism.
Are you afraid, Bob?
Quiet! Do you have legal authority? Yes or no?
Legal authority?
Do you have legal authority to do what?
I don't
legal authority? Do you have legal authority? What the good fuck is going on here? Do you have legal authority? If you're dealing with an actual demon, I'm pretty sure legal authority stops
yeah,
there. Haven't
I don't
you
think
seen
there was an attorney involved.
Ghostbusters? They got the thumbs up from the police commissioner to do whatever they needed to do. Put slime all over the streets. You don't want to know why? Because I don't know. There's no law. There's no law about demon peepees.
Legal authority. Do you have legal authority? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course, Bob.
What is the legal authority?
I would like to know, too.
Yeah, I'd like to know exactly what Bob is talking about. Is there a contract he's got to sign?
Have your lawyers talk to my lawyers.
Your demon pee-pee is now under contract to Spotify. Exclusive on Spotify. Bob's demon pee-pee.
Is it the incest? I'll take that for yes.
Why? You made him answer the other question.
How many generations? It didn't just start with the mother. How many generations? How many? What's the number? I command you by Christ. How many? Clearly, how many? How many?
Three? Five.
I have trouble with numbers. You just smacked me in the balls. Can I have a minute to recover? We didn't do this in rehearsal.
Fighty, fighty,
honey. How many? I command an answer. I take the sword of the spirit. I want a clear answer.
The other guys that are holding him were trying to answer for him because they just want to get this over with. They're like, okay, he's overacting this one, Bob. We got a bad guy, okay? You hit him in the pee-pee, he reacted the other way. You're supposed to calm down, and all of a sudden he's pepped up a little bit.
Many generations. How many?
He hit him again in the chest. Like,
yeah,
and
with the Bible, and he's hitting him with the crucifix,
God,
too.
That's got to hurt, don't you think?
I think so.
That's got to hurt. I think it's a good place to take a break. Okay. Don't you want to do that? All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with demon pee-pees.
Okay, podcast besties, time for one more quick break and then it's back to the drama. Check out tcbpodcast.com for all of our episodes and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Find us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us, which like, of course you do, leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3 or text us at 855-TCB-8383. Now, let's listen to some sponsors and get this show going.
All right, we're back with Bob and his demon pee-pee. Let's see what's going on here back in the room. Bob Larson, noted exorcist, I guess, noted exorcist. He's actually all over TV. This guy is a pretty famous guy. He's been on Geraldo and, you know, I think he was on Dr. Phil once and all this other stuff. So he's made the rounds. He's made a living being an exorcist. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in exorcism, well, then that's your choice. I think I actually believe, Chrissy, that there are some of those, like the Knights of the Templar type thing, mm-hmm. like inside of the Vatican, there are priests who have conducted apparently exorcisms on behalf of the papacy has said, go out and check this one out. And there are some stories. One of them is the book that The Exorcist was based on of this priest who was like the head exorcist for the papacy for a long time. And I've read some of those accounts. I'm not saying that exorcism is real, but I'm not saying it's not real either. What I do know is that Bob and his demon pee-pee here, this is not real. This is clearly acting. Clearly.
85 generations?
85 generations of the incest demon inside of the bodies. God. 85 generations. Wow.
That's a long time.
Has there even been 85 generations of humans? I'm not even sure. That would put us back in like negative 2000 area. It's a generation like, I don't know, 30 years, 80 years. So that's
30 or 80.
Something like that. I don't know. What do they consider a generation? Now it seems like every 3 years is a new name for a generation. But that's colloquial. This is actual generation. I don't know. Who knows?
Say I incest.
Hi, Brian. You have been cursed by the non-handy demon. You cannot do anything where your hands are required. They are useless. Hand model, maybe. Hi, Brian. Don't touch the clearly exposed wires. It's probably a good idea. Hi, Brian. Refrigerator's working great in that pantry, though.
I noticed it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
With all my kingdom.
All my kingdom.
He's like a pirate.
Including Jezebel. Arr.
Arr. All my kingdom.
Me and my one-eyed, witty demon pee-pee. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but at some point, the guy who's holding him, the big guy on the back, which
that
I've seen on
like
Jeff, what's his name? Guy from, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah,
Jeff Garland. Yeah. Jeff Garland. Okay, he looks exactly like Jeff Garland. He's a doppelganger for sure. So he is holding him from behind, like over his chest. And at one point, he looked back at the crowd and he goes, "His breath stinks." And somehow I don't
it's
have a hard time believing
breath.
That. Yeah, the demon breath. The demon dick breath. When you got demon dick breath. Do you have demon dick breath? Listerine. Oh, never mind.
Including Jezebel.
Witchcraft. And witchcraft.
Witchcraft?
Is he saying witchcraft? Like
yeah, witchcraft?
One?
Witchcraft. Yes. You have to be more specific. It sounded like you found a space in there. Grammar is appropriate.
So, yeah.
Witchcraft. Witchcraft.
See, this guy's getting a couple jokes in there. Why do I have a feeling this guy does like the ha-has in Schaumburg, Illinois on the weekends? Or he's a magician for kids or something.
Right.
Like exactly. I never got my big break.
Early along the way, somebody sought revenge. So we got murder, too. Say, and murder.
Murder! Murder! He won't do that either! He won't hurt anybody!
So we all.
We all
lift the curse of 85 generations.
85 generations
from this man.
getting hungry. Can we take a 15-minute smoke
Let's
break?
Just get him out of there.
Yeah.
He's ready to leave.
I know. Bob's like, okay, you've stolen my thunder. I hired you for the weekend. You were supposed to just play second fiddle.
This man.
Future generations.
Future generations.
And his calling.
And his
Is that somebody's phone?
Sorry! Sorry!
I said all phones on silent.
I
just ordered your book.
I ordered some wings from Pizza Hut. I had them delivered here. I figured since we're going to be here for a minute, this was supposed to be a seminar about timeshares.
I command you by Christ, lift it.
And the phone keeps going.
I think it's Bob's phone.
Yeah, it's probably Bob's phone in his pocket.
I left it!
Hold on, I need to get this call.
Yeah, hold on one moment. Bob Larson's exorcisms! Can I talk to you about your demon auto insurance? How much time do you live on that demon car warranty of yours?
Look at me. Whatever other curses there are, and whatever other spirits are part of this kingdom, I take a threefold cord and I bind you together as one.
He was trying to circle his head.
I am.
He hit him head by accident.
He smacked him right then. Poor Bob. Poor guy. Okay, now it says Bob calls audience members forward with their cross of deliverance to help battle the demons.
He's got one of my crosses. I want you to come out here to the front and stick that cross in his face. Come on, up here.
People are just literally have their iPhones out there recording this going, you can't believe what I walked into. They were given free coffee and donuts. Look at these guys.
Murder.
Lined up to get exercised. Oh.
Oh.
Well, it's a homely looking bunch. Where did they get these people?
I don't know.
It's not like, you know, it's not like Taylor Swift is coming into town. They have radio support and ads everywhere and Instagram. I swear to God, they're probably giving out coffee and donuts.
I think so, too. I think the people that are staying there.
Yeah. Free continental breakfast with every exorcism. Just pretend you don't. Just pretend you probably believe it. Just pretend you might believe it.
Any incest? I need oil.
What did he say? I need oil.
Holy oil. Cleansing oil.
Tea tree oil.
Cleansing oil. Vaseline. And Clorox bleach. Come together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the grand trinity of cleansing materials.
And the Holy Spirit. 85 generations, it's over. Now, these aren't the only problems.
It's
this
with
man
you. And by the end, I mean, because you can't have children anymore. Because you just damaged your scrotum.
Yeah, it's over. You got a Bible vasectomy.
It ends with you.
Yeah, he really did hit his balls pretty hard. You could see the look on his face. He was like, oh.
Oh. But without you there, he can start putting his life together.
Say, I murder.
An insect.
I'm going to sneak one by the goalpost here. An insect.
Evil.
All evil.
Of this curse.
This curse.
Have no more right.
Have no more right.
To this man of God.
To this man of God.
I still don't know why he's a pirate talker.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know why they're, and they keep modulating his voice and throwing in weird sound effects. Like, it's all so transparently bad, but, you know, here we are.
Look at that one guy. He's got the cross, the crucifix by his neck.
I know.
Like he's holding him up.
He wants to kill him.
We receive. Judgment.
judgment. I'll take judgment for $5,000, Alex.
All the torment of 85 generations. No. I put on your head 7 times greater. No.
You scum?
This guy just keeps wants to keep playing the act. He's like, I got a lot of airtime here. This is gonna go in my
All eyes are on me.
This is gonna go in my sizzle reel. You watch, Bob. I won't be playing kindergarten birthday parties anymore. Going straight to the top.
Say we all.
God, I think I can smell his breath through here. Yeah. Like, yeah, it just looks bad. He looks terrible. He's making terrible facial contortions.
I say the.
I say demon. You say pee-pee. Demon pee-pee. Demon pee-pee. It's the call and response act there at Bob Larson's Comedy Show. Cha-cha-cha. You got a frisky little one? Yeah, we'll exercise this little wee-wee.
Just say it.
I can smell those wings. They smell delicious. Please say it.
Yeah, please. We got Domino's. This is the best pizza we've had all tour.
Say it clear. Get pissed.
Pit.
Go to the pit. Come on, Jesus.
What is going on here?
Go, demon, go. To the pit.
Oh, this is a chaotic episode.
Is Bob a priest? He's just wearing a suit.
No, I don't think Bob is a priest. I think he's just a guy with a really heavy Bible that he's ready to swing at anybody who calls himself a demon.
That guy in the back is chewing gum.
I know.
Acting like he's saying the words from the Bible.
He's like, hallelujah. Nom, 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 nom. Praise Jesus. Nom, 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 nom. Domino's with pepperoni. Nom, 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 nom. Did you get extra sauce? Love those ranch dippers. Any ranch dippers? Anybody get any ranch dippers?
Go to the pit.
Go to the pit.
I won't even think about where the pit is or what the pit is.
Well, I think the pit is at a Maroon 5 show. That's where he gets the most. It's general admission at the Maroon 5 show. Who's also happens to be playing the Holiday Inn after this, by the way. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Did it. Nailed it. Come on. You got free donuts. What else could you want? Free donuts at a show. It's like Barnum and Bailey Ripley's Believe It or Not.
That's good stuff.
Do we have fun?
Oh my God.
I cannot stop laughing at that.
No,
I watched just a couple minutes of it when I was like, oh, this is good. We got to do this. I watched just a couple minutes, and as soon as that guy started laughing hysterically in his chair, I was like, oh, yep, this is commercial break material all day long.
I'm going to send you that number.
Send me that number. I'll give it a ring, and I'll put it on the Roadcaster. We'll see if we can get Bob on the phone. That's the caliber of guests you get here at the commercial break.
We say set the bar low. Yeah. We mean low.
Low. Like in hell.
In the pit.
The Maroon 5 general admission pit. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wow. 4 days a week, Tuesday through Friday. You know how it goes. We've been talking about it for a while. Nothing's changed. That is the steady course that we are plotting, at least for right this moment.
Also, more information about the TCB Holiday Audio Hunt coming up. $1,000 prize to the lucky winner, but you got to work for it. And we're going to talk about that in the next coming weeks as we turn around toward Thanksgiving. We're going to give away a $1,000 Gold Got gift card to some lucky winner in January. I'm so excited,
Chrissy. It's
going to be fun. But I'm serious. It's going to take work. You're going to have to use your noggin on this one. We're not going to make it easy for you. Like we did on the last one where we just...
just tag a friend.
Yeah, just tell us you listened.
Please.
But we're doubling the prize too. $1,000 Gold Dot gift card to the lucky winner. Also, we'd like you to get your piggy fronting sticker. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button, the drop down menu, I want my free sticker. Send us your address, tell Astrid you said hello, and she'll send off a sticker to your mailbox. Hey, you get a sticker, and you get a sticker, and you get a sticker. If you want it signed or whatever, we'll do that. We'll be happy to do it. Just leave that in the email that you send, or the contact form that you send over our way. Also, 626-ASK-TCB, the number 3. 1-626-ASK-TCB, the number 3. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we take them all. At that number, you can also leave us a voicemail. If you'd like to be on the commercial break, we may use that voicemail. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/the commercial break. You got to watch this one online. You're going to love it. So, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I do say, we must say, and we always say,
goodbye. Goodbye.